Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of CDSL Limited, hosted by Axis Capital Limited. Please note that CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could be constructed as forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Agarwal from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the earnings call of CDSL. We have the entire management team of CDSL with us here on the call, headed by Mr. Nehal Vora, MD and CEO. I would request Mr. Vora to take us through the initial remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Vora.
Thank you, Praveen. A very, very good morning and welcome, everybody. I hope each of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Thank you for joining us today to discuss CDSL's financial results for the second quarter for the financial year ended 2022-23. As in the previous quarters, we have posted a detailed financial presentation on our website for your reference. I'm joined by the CDSL Group's leadership team. Before I go further, I would like to wish each one of you a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year to you and your loved ones. May your year be filled with light and happiness. We are happy to present CDSL's performance for the second quarter of this financial year. Our strong and sustainable financial performance marked the end of a successful first half of the financial year. We are happy to report that India has strengthened its overall participation in the Indian capital markets. The overall number of Demat account investors in India during the Q2 FY23 crossed the 10 crore milestone, as CDSL crossed the milestone of 7 crore Demat accounts. The number of Demat accounts held with CDSL at the end of Q2 FY23 stands at 7.34 crores. On a separate note, or rather on a lighter note, if Demat holders were a separate country, it would rank 15th amongst the world's most populous countries. This growth is a reward of the digital innovation and presence carved across years, especially in the Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. We are also very proud to announce that history was created this Diwali, as India's first successful electronic gold receipts transaction was executed during the Muhurat trading session in BSE, and the securities were settled through CDSL. Our focus is to provide a convenient and secure capital market technology for all the participants on a sustainable basis. Our ability to understand the requirements, think and build on technologies, and to deliver diversified experiences continues to drive strong values for our stakeholders and shareholders. During the quarter, the number of active companies admitted with CDSL as on September 30, 2022, stood at 19,301, an increase of 12% from the number of active companies as on September 30, 2021. Furthermore, the value of securities in Demat custody as on September 30, 2022, stood at 38 lakh crores, an increase of 9% from the value of securities held on September 30, 2021. We have been following the path of building a simplified process and technology for all investors for the past years, and our technology has been continue to evolve to fit the needs of our customers. We at CDSL, in line with the spirit of Diwali, strive to empower the investors with their inner light, power and self-sufficiency through our services to help them transcend into an Atmanirbhar Niveshak or a self-sufficient investor. With this belief, we at CDSL wish to renew our commitment of providing convenient, dependable and secure digital services. The financial performance of this quarter continues to be strengthened by a sustainable long-term strategy of investing in the digital ecosystem and robust technology to provide all market participants an easy and secure platform. Today, using CDSL services, investors have the power to hold, operate, and monitor their investment safely from the comfort of their homes. Further, our services like the eAGM, e-voting, etc. empower the shareholders to connect with companies directly and conveniently. In conclusion, as the market condition evolves, we believe that CDSL, with easy and diversified services, has the ability to leverage the opportunities and be a catalyst in the India's growth story. Finally, I would like to take this opportunity to thank all our stakeholders, regulators, investors, issuers, registrar and share transfer agents, depository participants, partners, associates and employees, and all other stakeholders who have played an extremely important role in the growth of our company. Now I request you, Girish Amesara, CFO, to take us through our financial performance.
Thank you, Nehal. Good morning to everyone. On an year-on-year basis, the consolidated total income for the quarter ended September 30, 2022 has increased by 5 crore to an amount of 170 crore compared to 165 crore for the quarter ended September 21. The net profit on a consolidated basis for the quarter stood at 80.46 crore as against net profit of 86.06 crore for the quarter ended September 21. On an quarter-to-quarter performance, the consolidated total income for the quarter ended September 22 has increased by 24 crore to 170 crore compared to 146.30 crore for the quarter ended June 30, 22. The net profit on a consolidated basis for the quarter stood at 80.46 as against net profit of 57.61 for the quarter ended June 22. Talking on standalone basis, the year-on-year quarter has ended September 22 has increased by 13 crore to an amount of 140.54 crore as against 127.92 crore for the quarter ended September 21. The net profit on a standalone basis for the quarter ended September 22 is at 68.61 crore as against profit of 68.40 crore for the quarter ended September 21. On an quarter-to-quarter performance, the total standalone income for the quarter ended has achieved at 140.54 crore as against 157.81 crore for the quarter ended June 22. The net profit on a standalone basis for the quarter ended September 22 stood at 68.61 as against net profit of 89.10 crore for the quarter ended June 22. It may be noted that CDSL subsidiary CDSL Ventures Limited had paid dividend of 41.50 crore in the quarter ended June 22. Now I shall request Sunil Alvarez to give an update about the operation of wholly owned subsidiary CDSL Ventures Limited. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. At the outset, I would like to take the opportunity to wish you all a very happy Diwali to you and your loved ones. H1 FY23, we saw a significant drop in the new DMAT and broking accounts as well as the mutual fund folios. And since all these account openings are intrinsically linked to the KYC, there was a dip in the KYCs created and the KYCs fetched. This had a slight impact on the number of KYCs created in CVL. So the number of KYCs dipped by 9% from 64 lakh to 58 lakh in this financial year, and the number of KYCs fetched dipped from 1 crore 56 lakh to 1 crore 31 lakh, which was a dip of 16%. So far as the operational income was concerned, the operational income dipped by 13% in H1 FY23 to 53.49 crores from 61.72 crores. And the total income dipped by 15% to 57.11 crores, as against 67.50 crores. The expenses increased by 2% from 24.50 crores to 25.15 crores. The profit before tax dropped by 26% from 43 crores to 32 crores, and the profit after tax dipped by 28% from 32 crores to 20 crores. With this, I had opened the floor for questions from the participants.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pratik Rathi from Choice Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, team. Congratulations on a good set of results. So I just wanted to understand regarding the insurance dematerialization. Like with effect from 1st November, it has been made mandatory. So what kind of revenue growth do we see in this team, and what could be the one-time opportunity do we see here?
So the insurance repository, there's a separate subsidiary called the insurance repository. It will be done through that company, and the mandatory is from the end of this calendar year for new policies, and for existing policies, one more year has been given. It's yet going through the regulatory framework, is getting discussed and getting created. But we are completely on top of it. As soon as that gets announced, then we'll come to know what will be the likely impact. Anyway, we don't give any future and forward-looking statements.
So for this quarter, there won't be any impact. I mean, from next calendar year onwards, probably there could be some impact, right?
Whether there will be an impact or not, that we'll have to see. But in this quarter, it will not. It will kind of be on basically as is where this space is.
Okay, and my second question is regarding the increase in the employee benefit expenses. So I believe in last quarter we had some one-time expenses of one of the subsidiary. But even in current quarter, there is a good amount of increase in employee benefit expenses. Is there any particular reason for this?
No, it's a combination. There is a general expectation as CDSL size is growing. We need to invest in the right kind of people. Technology and people are the two main important components of our company. And we need to have key resources to be employed. And also there is a larger regulatory responsibility which is getting formulated in terms of a frontline regulator. And therefore we need to continue to invest the right people in the regulatory areas also as CDSL size grows. So in all forms, be it technology, be it the operations and the regulatory teams, has to be appropriately strengthened to ensure that we are able to ensure the continued growth which we are witnessing.
Okay, got it, sir, got it. So this kind of run rate would continue to grow ahead. There is no one-time expense in this quarter in the employee benefit caption.
Yeah, means broadly, I will not able to give any specifics on the future. But it's just this is the overall theme on which we are working on in terms of the investment in our people.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot. That's okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the insurance opportunity. So as you said that obviously it's a thing which is visible in the near term. But if I see the the finances of the insurance subsidiary, then there the realization per policy for the life insurance for the life policies has been declining over the last 4-5 years, and currently it is at 25 rupees per policy, and it is down around 28% YOY, right? And for the for the health and motor, it's around 10 rupees per policy. So in terms of the pricing, how you see the pricing panning out? Because here the volumes were very, very thin, but as the volumes will grow, can we see a pricing war here, or is it the pricing being fixed by the regulator, or is it regulated?
So it is a different paradigm which we are expecting to go in, and pricing will be a function of that, because now it's becoming kind of a regulatory mandate, and it'll have to be, and that's how in the depository space also the pricing had evolved. Started off on a high note, but once it becomes mandatory, it becomes kind of is really rationalized. So I think I will not able to second guess what the regulator has in mind, but I think we'll have to wait and watch how this moves forward. But it's a different scale which we are talking about, because once it becomes mandatory, it's a different scale. So it is not comparable with the past, where it was on a voluntary basis.
And also in terms of the pricing differential between life and motor or health policy. So the general insurance policies, which is more shorter duration, there the pricing can be much lower than what it is existing today.
We'll have to see how it evolves, Amit. I'm not able to give a firm answer at this stage. This is all going through various regulatory deliberations, and we'll have to wait and watch how this really evolves.
And also, sir, if I see the shareholding pattern of all the four insurance repositories, so like most of them are 100% held by the parent versus CDSL, which is mostly held by like most of the life insurance companies. So is this going to have any specific advantage in terms of the volume, incremental volumes coming to CDSL?
Again, we'll have to wait and watch. We don't give any future outlook. Our intent is to provide the best in terms of technology platforms, a very transparent governance platform, and then leave it to the market to kind of choose which is the best way forward. That has been our philosophy in CDSL. It will continue to remain in CDSL group also.
Okay. And so lastly on this piece, so in terms of expenses, we have an expense of around 1 crore in the subsidiary. So, how we can expect the expenses? So is it the platform cost or the technology investments have already been done, or we can expect high investments in technology from here on? So
any platform, Amit, it will evolve, because you need the right kind of people, the kind of technologies. Okay. And once a regulatory framework gets kind of created, that will kind of evolve in terms of ensuring the best-in-class services. So whatever it takes, because this is basically a long-term play rather than a short-term play. You need to have the right people and the resources and the right technology to take this business forward as we move ahead.
Okay. And sir, on the demat account addition, obviously there has been some slowdown there. But if I see the incremental revenue per demat, so that has gone down significantly. So this implies that newer account that is being added, those are not contributing anything to our top line, or the contribution is very, very less. In fact, 1/4 of what it was earlier, right? So in terms of the newer account additions, how is the activity there? And if you can give some color in terms of the demographics, or how it is panning out, and can we expect that to increase as these these people start doing activity, and hence the incremental contribution from these additions will start to reflect in our top line going ahead.
So really, Amit, you should look at it as a consolidated revenue mix. If you see the overall market volumes, more particularly the delivery volumes across the exchanges, has also taken a dip. So it's DMAT account related revenue is related to that activity, and it's a variety of factors, be it basically the geopolitical issues or the general uncertainty about inflation, etc. So participation in the markets has taken a dip over the last few months. And this is kind of in sync. But as compared to that, the overall revenue mix has kind of been in sync with one of the more bull phases. So that has been the key strength of CDSL, that it has kind of been able to really sustain that kind of revenue, despite there being a general market contraction in terms of participation. And that has been our philosophy, that it becomes more and more insulated whilst we are there in terms of the best-in-class technology. So as the market volumes grow, we are there for it. And it is similar to a road. So where, how many cars come on a road is a function of various factors. Similarly, the market volume is a function of various factors. The important thing is that we are there, and the incremental market share continues to remain very, very strong and robust. Our technology remains very strong and robust, and we're using this time to ensuring that our technology remains kind of in A class as we move forward.
Okay. So, and any color on the demographics of the new account additions? Anything you can, you know, tell us incrementally in terms of from where the accounts are getting added? Is there any shift that you're seeing? Or
there is no shift. It's kind of the general same trend which continues. We don't give out in the public domain as of now the mix, but it kind of broadly it is the same framework which continues as we move forward. Obviously, the level of participation has gone down, but overall the trend remains the same.
Okay, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Santosh Kumar Keshri from Keshri Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
I had two questions. One is about the number of employees that the company has on standalone basis as well as on total group level basis, year on year as well as quarter to quarter, if you can give that number.
So our total employee on a standalone basis is around 260 employees, and on a group level it is around 325.
This is as of September 30th, right?
As on date. As on 30th September, you can consider.
Yeah, and what could have been the number as of 31st March 22?
31st March 22, it was 246 on a standalone basis, and on consolidated basis, it was around 300.
Yeah, okay, thank you so much. I don't have any other question.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanket Poda from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, with respect to the insurance business again, there is one source of revenue which might come in pipeline, which is regarding dematerialization of the policy. And second thing is,
I'm sorry
with respect
to Mr. Koda, your voice is fluctuating. Can you please use your handset to ask a question?
Sure, sir. Is it better now?
Thank you so much. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, sir, my question again is with respect to the insurance thing. Because one source of revenue which IRDA is trying to generate for the repositories is compulsory dematerialization of the policy. And second thing is regarding the centralization of KYC thing. So which I believe will be also done by insurance repositories. So just wanted to understand because till date we believe that KYC is largely done for life insurance companies. It's hardly done for motor or health policies. So this itself can be a very big opportunity. Or any thoughts on these lines would be very useful, sir.
Yeah. So again, Mr. Sanket, it will be something which we'll have to wait and watch till the regulatory framework gets announced formally. There has been a policy announcement, but there is hectic rounds of deliberations going around as to how the operation modalities will get worked out. Once that gets finalized, then we'll be able to really comment on the extent of the opportunity. So it's something is a little premature at this stage. We'll have to wait and watch how this gets evolves as we move forward.
Got it, sir. And the second thing, with the insurance thing, is that our market share compared to other insurance repositories historically has been lower. So now, though, because it was maybe voluntary, maybe it was not so much of focus in the past, but now becoming mandatory and given it's a big opportunity, any market share, what you are thinking on, because currently we are less than 10 or closer to 10, I believe, in the number of policies which are in EIA accounts. So how we want to accelerate it given we are little laggard with respect to this particular piece?
So our philosophy, be it CDSL or any of the group companies, be it CVL also, where we have about a 65% market, a large market share in the KRA business. The intent is that we don't go after the numbers or the market share. We go after giving the best-in-class technology platforms, a value proposition, and kind of leave it to the market to then choose which platform works best. So our focus has been in bringing in that quality in our platforms, in our products, security in our products and platforms, and more importantly, a value proposition. And that will be the same ethos with which we will continue to work in our insurance repository also. We are not going after numbers. We are going after the quality of our offerings as the main focus area. And our experience has been over the last 3-4 years is that this has been the single most important driving factor in driving the market share up. So it's kind of not the intent. The intent is to get the best-in-class products, and the result of that is that more and more people would like to use that platform.
Got it, sir. So on those lines, I mean, any additional hiring or tech initiatives you have taken given these new opportunities coming?
Yeah, the process is it is kind of an ongoing process. It will continue to happen, and the board is not only the board of CDSL, but even the board of the insurance repository is fully in sync in ensuring that we have the right kind of people inside in that repository to ensure that we are able to build that business well.
Got it, sir. Perfect. Sir, a few data keeping questions. If you can give a few data points. One is pledge income in the quarter, then annual issuer income broken down into listed and unlisted companies, and probably the data provisioning number in the quarter.
I'll ask the CFO, Girish Kumar.
So the pledge income is 3.5 crore in the quarter.
Okay, sir. And the annual issue charges
from the listed is 1.30 crore in the quarter.
From unlisted company, right, sir?
Yes.
And the debtor provisioning?
Debtors provisioning is around 3 crore in the quarter.
Okay. And final one, sir, if you can break down the operating revenue or you can give a little more details on cash income and e-voting income, which probably is not there in the presentation. If you can give that information, it will be useful, sir.
E-voting is achieved at 14 crore in this quarter.
And cash, sir?
Cash is 5.08 crore. 5 crore? Roughly. 5 crore 9 lakhs.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who want to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone now. The next question is from the line of Pratik Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, congratulations, sir, for putting up a good set of numbers, and I wish Happy Diwali and prosperous New Year to whole CDSL team.
Thank you.
I have really one question. Like, as we all know that India has already started the operation as a GIFT City for Bullion Exchange. So, is there any revenue we have earned in this quarter? And the second one is, Nihal sir, if you can just explain, as you mentioned, that the first transaction happened on the Murat trading of this gold receipt. How CDSL will work, and and how will get revenue from this storing this code receipt with the CDSL account?
So on the first question, we are part of the consortium of BSC, NSC, MCX, NSDL and CDSL, which owns the depository. So CDSL, it was a fully owned subsidiary which has been sold to the consortium. This is in line with the overall national objectives of ensuring that we don't compete in GIFT City. We remain as a unified force and compete with the world. These are kind of in early days yet, so we are equal partners not only in the depository but in the exchange and the clearing corporation of the bullion exchange and clearing corporation, the entire ecosystem. So we'll have to wait and watch. As of now, these are in early days. As regards your second question on the EGRs, we are part of, we are basically a repository or a depository for the gold receipts, and it will have similar contours in terms of the transaction charges as well as the new kind of issuances which are put in. It will be on a similar line. These are kind of in early days, so it will be difficult to give any framework. This is a new line of business which we've gone in. Again, our focus is to ensure a value proposition, ease of doing business, but at the same time having a very secured way of ensuring and a tech-enabled platform so that more and more people are able to connect from different parts of the country to enhance the entire reach of this ecosystem.
Got it, sir. Thank you for explanation. And yeah, and so just want to confirm that CDSL platform is ready, right, to cater all this?
Yes, yes. In fact, the first trade which happened on the Murat trading was settled. The security settlement was done through CDSL. I said that as a part of my speech. So we were kind of the first trade settlement, part of the first trade settlement which was happened on the EGR.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds really great, and hoping for the best and wishing all the best for the future, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your wishes.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone now. There is a follow-up question from the line of Pratik Rathi from Choice Capital. Please go ahead.
So a few weeks ago, we saw one of the news articles regarding single DMAT account, infrastructure development for single DMAT account. So how soon do we see this as a reality, like a single DMAT account for all FDs, insurance, PPF, post office, as well as shares?
Again, this is something which we are in the, we'll have to wait and watch till the formal announcement comes. I would not like to comment on news articles which is not backed by a SEBI circular or a circular from the regulatory authorities. The intent is that we are technology ready, and whenever the framework gets announced, we should be able to participate in it.
Okay, got it, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Anshuman Deep from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is regarding the the annual issuer charges and the price hike possibility. So we have not had price hikes, we understand, but do you think in near future is there any scope or there is no consideration for that at moment? That is my only question.
So again, we'll have to kind of really assess that, because the general theme and ethos is to bring in more and more players in. So what the regulator will think, because this will have to be approved by the regulator, and it will have to be a joint proposal by both the depositories. There have not been any formal communication yet, but there have been some discussions. But I think at this stage, we'll have to just wait and watch. It'll be difficult to comment on this at this stage.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who want to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone now. The next question is from the line of Amit Kalyanpur from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I'm referring to the slide 20 of the investor presentation where you've given the breakup of the income. There's an item called as other income comprising 30 crores. So can you please give a breakup of that?
Ask the CFO Girish to answer. Yeah.
So other income largely consists of settlement charges, inter-KRA charges, EKYC, CKYC, then account maintenance charges, user facility charges, foreign portfolio monitoring charges, document storage charges, cash charges, and e-voting charges. So this consists of majority income of other...
So you gave the number of e-voting and cash as well? 14.
Yes, yes, yes. So that is almost 20 crore. Both put together. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm asking whether there's any other major item like 5 crore item or...
No. These two are the major one, cash and e-voting. They both of them put together is 20 crore. Rest of them all are around 1 crore, less than 90 lakhs or 80 lakhs, that kind of.
Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot. I'm done with the question.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. You may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much. I see two questions which have now just popped up.
Sure, sir. Can we take the questions?
Yeah.
Okay. The next question is from the line of V. Pala from Finsprut Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Pala, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. As Mr. Pala has left the queue, we'll take the next question, which is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from BT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, regarding your KYC, the KYC business model. So when you set a record, when your customer sets a record, if his KYC has been made by, say, TAM, so if he goes to an HDFC AMC, so when HDFC AMC needs to fetch the KYC record through CDSL, will CDSL get that 35 rupees or will it go to TAM?
It's not CDSL, it's CDSL Ventures.
Yes, sorry.
So it's like this, if the record, KYC record is with CAMS and the intermediary is connected to CVL, then the intermediary can fetch the record from CAMS to CVL.
Okay.
To charge the intermediary and then pass on the revenue to CAMS.
Okay, so CDSL won't get anything from that because the one time...
It will be revenue neutral. From one hand, I'll be taking it from the intermediary and passing it on to CAMS.
Okay, so that also means that whichever record you are creating in the future, if that client goes to another intermediary for a demat account or a SIP account, that will always come to you. The 35 rupees from that client will always come to you if that client has created a record once with EVA.
So the KRA which holds the record, the revenue will always come to that KRA.
Okay. And given somewhere, how many clients are there under the KYC and the CVM who have created the record with CVM?
I didn't get your question. Come again.
How many records are CVM created till date?
We have 4.8 crore records.
4.8. And what would be the market share?
These figures are not reported anywhere by the KRA. So our estimate is it should be around 65%.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And that's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anup Biswas from CDSL Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Hello. Happy Diwali, sir.
Yeah, happy Diwali.
Sir, I have a question on repository business. Is LIC registered?
Can I ask you from which company?
मैं एक individual investor हूँ. हाँ तो ये जो LIC life insurance India ये कंपनी अभी जो हमारा जो रिपोजिटरी बिजनेस है उसके रजिस्टर्ड है क्या सर?
क्या बोले? Can you repeat that question? LIC is one of the promoters of the insurance repository in CDSL, but they have not yet joined the repository to demat the insurance policy.
Yes. Okay, but in this case, what is your comment on that?
Comment on no, what? It is totally to the management of LIC to decide when they want to join. So they have they are exploring it, and once they feel that it is the right time, they will join.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So right now we do not have anybody in the queue. Do you want
me
to?
Yeah, we can now close. Thank you.
Sir, any closing comments from your end?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask all of you to remain safe and secure, and wishing you all the very best in the new Samvat year. Happy Diwali and a prosperous new year to you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.